What's up, friends? This is JT, and you are listening to the Let's Dig Into That podcast, where we embrace the struggle of being intentionally human. Join us as we volunteer our vulnerability in pursuit of growth and lasting change. Who do I do this with? Who's sitting next to me?
Shock.
Her kindness, positivity, and love could break any curse. She just had a birthday, and it's like she's aging in reverse. It's Jordan, everybody!
Thank you. Oh, man. Energized.
I told you I was bringing the energy.
You did. And then you used the word embrace, I was like, I feel a threat.
I feel like I took DayQuil, and I didn't.
Give me that DayQuil energy. Who's doing it? My sultry searcher. The man I vowed to nurture. It's the premium worder. My main thing, JT.
Yeah. I love it.
Oh, man, my heart is at a clip. Okay, here we go. Let's do this. How you living?
I'm doing great.
Excellent.
There is this email, and I was so pumped.
We got a note.
It's from a listener. That always brings me so much joy.
Yes.
But this one sort of made me feel a little dumb because it was like one line and it just said, hey, you guys have never talked about trust.
Do you guys want to talk about trust? I think that's so great. We made an assumption that we both knew.
But what a great topic.
It was a great topic. And the shock that on your face, get this. Can you believe we have never, sat
I've
on the
read,
couch?
Unlike other podcasts, I've read so many books about trust. This is something I know a lot about.
You've got some decent content, some personal experience. I look forward to hearing about. So when you mentioned to me trust, and I walk downstairs, and I'm like, all right, let me think. What might we talk about? And sprinting in front of my feet at the bottom of stairs is our precious, aged, youthfully ancient kitty cat. So she's like 17 to 19, somewhere in that window.
June, macaroon, toon, toon.
The Junie macaroonie, Juno, and she is blind in her trust.
So blind.
Blind as a cat, apparently. She is so trusting in us and our giant puppies and the ways of the world that she lives at a full tilt.
Yep.
She runs everywhere. She still jumps up on things at a
way too tall things that she jumps off of just like
not
knowing what's on the ground.
Yeah,
it's sure crazy.
Her hips probably lie. Her hips probably have lived all nine lives. So when I think of trust, I'm inspired to bring my A-game on behalf of the Poon.
We talk about the dogs a lot. I'm glad we could get the cat in here.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
She is a force.
So I got to know, has anyone like ever shattered your trust?
You've got some stories, I feel like, because I feel like if you're lucky enough to know JT in the way that I do, if you were to breach his trust, I think that would be a difficult uphill battle. And so I'm just like, have people broken my trust? Is that your question?
Yeah.
I'm like, sure they have probably. But I, you know,
but you just
I have
let it roll off your back.
Short-term memory loss. I think, and I don't know, I'm sure that I'm misusing. I don't want to say like forgiveness, but sure I've been, you know, betrayed in ways. But I think that you may have to take that because, like, when I think of things, they all end in me kind of working through them. but sure, like, I've had, from marriage ending. But would you mind starting with that one?
Yeah, I mean, the one that jumps into my mind right off the bat, I dated the same girl I've talked about a little bit all through high school and through most of college. And unfortunately, she slept with my college roommate.
Oh, okay.
And
yes, I did know this, but I'm like, I forgot the roommate part. Like, not just a person in your circle-ish.
Yeah.
You live together.
And so that was probably like, I don't have any communication with either of those people anymore. That's how that worked out in my life was.
Ah.
That's kind of how trust works for me. I would say that I'm a very trusting person off the get. I don't have preconceived judgments. I am quick to trust.
That's true. I'm probably a tougher sell at the onset.
I am so quick to trust. However, if you break that trust, that's
dead
the
to me.
That's the end.
As we've established with change, dead to
me. And so that's probably the one that stands out in my mind where it really broke me. And I remember actually talking to a therapist and they used the analogy of a mirror, that trust between people is like a mirror. When it's intact, it gives you a wonderful reflection. But once you break that trust, think about what a mirror does. It shatters. and you can't put those pieces back together. It's done. And that is kind of how I work.
Oh, and that's so true too. And like seeing yourself reflected in pieces is kind of very, you know, kind of a great image for how you feel at that moment of betrayal. Because when I think about trust, and it's like going back to grade school, when somebody tells your secret, what was sworn, pinky swear, in the vault, and then they go behind your back and whisper, and somebody, like, that feeling I think we're all so familiar with. And those were probably days when I was like, oh, game on. You know? Yeah, you're dead to me, or it's going to take, you're going to have to climb that hill to get, and I thought we were friends. And you just feel so, that deep hurt. And so those, you know, experiences, I'm sure, make the framework for how we look at trust. Like, you come from, like, I struggle with, like, my college roommate, like, and you don't talk to either. Whereas my high school into college boyfriend, he did sleep with someone else. And I had my sniffer on, and we were at separate universities, and I was visiting, and I was like, she knows too much. What's the deal? And I still feel like I could call both of them today.
You're friends with her. I really
think that, well, they're in love. And like, I got it. It was so painful. And like, I'm sure, I wish I don't have an accurate, I haven't dug deep enough to like remember, but I know that I reacted and had words. But I cared about this person immensely, like my boyfriend at the time. And so I didn't know her. She was, we didn't have,
a relationship.
Yeah. We had met, which is, and so, but yes, I do adore her. I think she's a wonderful wife, mother.
What's the difference?
And like, so I cared about him, that I was like, you guys have something, you better take care of this boy. And so, but it took time.
He ended up marrying her.
Yes. And I went to the wedding. And I danced, but I was so sweaty. I had a great time.
It seems like that helps you with like the pain that came with it of the betrayal, but also maybe the trust wasn't as broken.
I probably knew enough that we were drifting. Like it was writing on, like if I, my sniffer was up, so it wasn't just insecurity. Like, so what would be the benefit to me of just breaking my, you know, I feel like that's such a cliche response to just like have to. And so I was like, nope, I needed to take as much power and be like, you know, my plan was already. And so I'm going to make this my freedom moment. And so we healed separately. And then, but I just cared about him for so long that doesn't go away. And him making a bad choice, I was able, because I cared about this person, to make it more situational than like a giant character flaw, than like an integrity bomb. That I wasn't like, he's a cheater, he's awful. I'm like, he's getting feelings for this person.
So having some understanding of how it happened.
Yeah.
Maybe softened it, but also helped you sort of move forward.
Contextualize. Yeah, absolutely, with the closure.
We have a saying in this house, and it's only forward. Mm-hmm. And I think that's so
gets
crucial.
Me through a lot of jams.
Because I think one of the reasons that mirror shatters for me is that I backslide. When someone breaks my trust, I then feel so stupid. I'm like, wow.
Every time. Much like our Love Ninja email. He goes straight to shame. He's like, wow, we have let our listeners down.
You know what I mean? Like I backslide and I don't have that forward motion. And I go back and I'm thinking, wow. Every time my roommate got out of the shower and walked past us in his towel, what was she thinking? And that's what goes on in my head.
I'm like, what were they already doing? Like, I don't know. Sorry.
Thanks for that. Yeah.
Oh, God. I excited a black backslide. But be paying for
but
that.
You get my point. And that is so unproductive. It is so, it's just bringing the feelings back over and over again. So I'm envious of your ability to.
I think health lies somewhere in the middle of our two approaches.
I think so too.
Moving only forward, I go at 80 miles an hour, where I've already made the reasons that, that I was more in charge of that decision. And
So in terms of trust, do you think that we just are gifted it? Is it something that, do we start at zero?
I was curious.
Or do you have to build trust within people and relationships?
Great question, because I think that, because we were just saying, like, those childhood experiences and trusting, you know, those attachment theories, like trusting your parents going to come back in the room or lunch will arrive magically, like, and so I had to look, and I don't have any like name, no studies to back it up, but science has shown, if you'll let me ride that wave, that there are folks that are naturally predisposed to be more trusting.
Okay.
And what's interesting is these non-name studies that I'm sure we're all just, thank you for joining me, but have proven that these folks have the tendency to be happier, more fulfilled, building greater connections. When I went to it, people are predisposed to be more trusting, instantly gullible. Like my mind went to, they're going to get had, filing for bankruptcy, like they, bless their poor little hearts. Life's going to be tough. They're too trusting. And that shifted when it's like being, that exposes them to more opportunities is the reasoning that I read through was on this. Yeah, I was probably listening. That's why I don't know. that I probably heard through the grapevine, but they're open. It makes good sense that you're open to more opportunities.
You're simply open-minded. Like think about right. What it means to be trusting. It means that you don't have preconceived notions. You're not already shut down. It just means you're probably more open-minded than some other people.
Yeah, I think you could argue or open-hearted. I'm not sure where trust fits in your body.
Right. And I'm just
probably in the ankle.
One quick second. I don't want to feel like your studies are unnamed. Brené Brown has done so much work that we
Dr.
have read and
Brené
put
Brown,
and
queen.
Put forth. There's a wonderful book that I've read called The Thin Book of Trust by Charles Feltman. And
that's
so
right.
Just for our audience to know, a lot of our information is pulled from there.
Yes, we do attribute. I didn't
want to give credit where credit's due.
Associate, but that's true. Thank you for referencing that book. What's his name again?
His name is Charles Feltman. Thin Book of Trust.
Cool. And yes, Brené Brown has a really cool anatomy of trust. And I really gained a lot from every time the woman opens her mouth. and so, but if you haven't exposed yourself to this, the punchline being, if we have a better understanding, which is why I think you and I wanted to share this today, it allows the opportunity to be like, here's what my struggle is. Here's my concern, here's the issue at hand, and potentially build a deeper relationship, fix something that went awry. Because if you can pinpoint what, you know, like, man, I really relied on you to keep that in the vault, to keep that secret for me. My expectations were that you wouldn't tell a soul. And then if that person goes, oh my gosh, I only told Brittany because Brittany's sister has the same thing. And I wanted her to be able to talk to you about it.
She might have some experience
that
could
help
you. Oh
my gosh, so much better. But if you're telling, you know, gossip queen Andrea, I'm so sorry if I've offended poor Brittany.
Just throwing out names.
But if you're telling, and Andrea, I know that that is just to disseminate my secret, my shame, my whatever, my truth, then that is a very different, that is going to, you know, whether you want to go back and talk about the trust that was broken there.
So it seems like the why.
Yes, when the intentionality.
When your trust is broken,
right.
The why plays such
a huge
factor.
Yeah, if you're
factor.
Just going to step out and go whispering it in her ear, your why, like it feels like you, it wasn't that you neglected, you didn't know it was that big of a secret. It is intentionally, yeah, mean.
Right.
Mean girl crap.
So there's sort of two categories here. When someone breaks your trust, did they do it because they lacked integrity? Or did they do it because they lacked competence?
Right. If you take this odd Charles, good old, I forgot his name already. I
Feltman.
Put an F down. Feltman, I'm going to finish it. I had F-E.
Charles
Feltman and Brené's Anatomy of Trust. They both have these awesome acronyms.
And they do kind of cross over in certain spots.
And boiled down, if for our simplification of our non-PhD, non-certified researcher, but very much living a life.
Yeah, lived experience.
Lived experience. And we want, I think it's worthy of talking about trust in the best friend meets coworker meets what's the family dynamic at the table and chosen family. Like it's really big. But if Brené's Anatomy of Trust and Feltman's were to be boiled down, I think competence. And integrity, you're absolutely right.
Sort of the two categories of when someone breaks your trust, did they do it from a lack of integrity or a lack of competence? Arguably, if it comes from a lack of competence, it feels a little bit better because you can understand it. You can see how they got there. You know that the intention might still be in the good category.
Right.
Where when it's a breach of integrity, probably not a good thing. Probably the worst category, right?
You're absolutely right. And I think there's, yes, and there's something huge with the way we disseminate that information, because if it's competence, again, we're going to be like, oh, they made a mistake.
Right.
But they usually don't. They're competent of usually showing up on time, getting stuff done. And so the positive outcome, like, we are so easy to kind of forget, to roll that, you know, on and be like, on to the next, have that quick discussion. Whereas integrity, the weight of that mistake is so much more massive.
Right.
In an error. So if it's a trip, whether, and so here we come to, I'm going to blow your mind with this.
Yeah.
Like, what's it called? The fundamental, oh, I have it right here. The fundamental attribution error.
Okay.
So if it is attributed to, I just screwed up, or I, you know, this is a much bigger problem. Our values are different. I have, the betrayal is much greater, that what you're attributing that trust breach to.
Wow.
Did I say a lot of stuff? Did any of that make sense?
It all made sense.
Oh, cool.
But my mind keeps going past that point, because what really interests me about trust is how you rebuild when it's broken. And it's something I'm not good at. That's why it's so compelling to me.
JT needs 3 to 4 months to replay the footage of the and then parse, lots of parsing for you, where I think if we can get the language to understand and identify, because again, if you have a breach of trust that's like, wow, I felt judged by your reaction, like, that's completely fair to be like, oh, damn, misread our relationship. And so if you are able to say like, okay, I understand that was a little bit, you know, more than I usually bring to the table.
Right.
But, and that's tricky. I'm not saying any of this shit's easy. I don't.
Well, trust is.
I think me having the language makes me feel I know why it hurts, which is so helpful.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we talk about it all the time. If you can name it, you can claim it. If you can claim it, you can control it. So having why really helps you sort of understand. It's just like our emotions. If we can name them, we can claim them, we can control it. And so I get that aspect of it.
Right.
But I think of trust very much as a two-way street. And I think we're talking about it in a one-sided way. Because let me give you a weird scenario. But let's say a relationship and someone steps out. It's a competent stuff. Maybe they were inebriated, put themselves in a really bad situation. And that person decides to forgive them.
I see what you're doing.
And so
yeah.
I also think about, just because I've worked with kids and I do a lot of studies on how...
infidelity in children, and, example?
Well, no.
Take me on this ride. Take me on this journey.
Well, I'm thinking about punishment. Let's say that that person forgives, but the trust isn't fixed just because there's forgiveness.
You didn't repair the
there's
trust.
There's no repair there. And so if your then reaction is to punish that person, you're now contributing to the broken trust. Because we all know punishment, that's where I was going with kids.
I got you now, yep.
We all know that punishment is actually just creating a fear to be vulnerable again. And so now that person, even though they are the one who screwed up and went out and did something terrible, they're now being punished for it. And so their reaction next time they make a mistake will be to hide it at all costs. And so the trust cycle of broken trust just continues if we're not doing the proper repair work.
Because you're absolutely right that repair is two people making the decision to try to get back on track, or
right,
making the decision to, I messed up, I'm never going to do it again. Redemptive steps. I've been rehabilitated. And the belief in that, and like that were the punishment, like, I say I forgive you and then I'm going to make your life a living hell.
Right.
That's not a thing. But forgiveness is completely one-sided, because forgiveness is, I messed up, and me saying I'm sorry about it, apologizing for it, is admitting the guilt that I have now
taking accountability.
It's taking accountability. This is where you and I stand in beautiful separate pedestals of like, where, yeah, but it is taking the guilt, where if the reasons were, I lose some of my control when I say I'm sorry, because that immediately means it's wrong and I've given you all the control on how we move on from there.
Which is exactly what I want.
That's clear from your pedestal. It's very, the volume is loud from your pedestal.
My own philosophy is the reason we apologize, and this goes into trust very much, is to acknowledge your wrongdoing.
There's shit you should say you're sorry for.
And
absolutely.
Step up and take accountability for it. That's the main purpose.
Own it and make amends for
it. Take the feelings out of it.
Accountability.
It is all about accountability, in my opinion. And yeah. so that's why.
And so this is, I think what we're, if we're being too vague, what JT and I are subtly saying, I think with our eyes at each other, is sometimes JT would desperately, he wants me to say the words, I'm sorry. And what my mind is saying is, I'm sorry that you don't like the truth I just put in front of you. I'm sorry your feelings were affected by, but what I should apologize for is I could do better in the way I deliver messages.
Well, you can take the I'm sorry out of it and simply say statements.
Because I can't, I refuse to be guilty for how you feel.
But you can apologize without the I'm sorry part, because that's what I think you struggle with. And I've been trying to incorporate this, because when you overuse sorry,
loses its zhuzh.
And again, we're talking about trust in this conversation. If your sorries don't mean anything, you're working your way to an untrusting relationship. Mm-hmm. And so it is important that when you say you're sorry, that you mean it. And so other things that I'll do is, in the moment, when I can tell I've done something, I'll go, man, I wish I said that differently.
That I can take accountability for, because that should be, that is a t-shirt I get made, like, could have done better on the way I phrase that. But saying sorry as often as can happen, which again, the dangers of politeness, and I'm so accommodating, that makes me question that self-trust in the other person. If they're living a life where they're just literally bopping around apologizing for every stinking move or word, like, what the hell's going on the inside?
Did you write down that Maya Angelou quote?
You know I did.
Please, because she's a hero. I love that quote in relation to trust and apologies.
My arm, we are in hero stance. There's a pose I'm doing. Maya, the great Maya Angelou said, I don't trust people who don't love themselves and tell me I love you. There is an African saying, which is, be careful when a naked person offers you a shirt.
Wow.
Subtle African proverbs. I like that. It's just directed to the point. But I love that. I think I don't trust people who don't love themselves and tell me I love you. And so if you're sorry for, it makes me go, are you sorry for existing? Like, we pride ourselves here on take up space. Be exactly. Big. Your voice freaking matters. And we want it to be okay to mess up and come back to this table, this couch and talk about
it. What Maya's saying there is you can't trust other people if you don't trust yourself.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that?
I do.
Yeah?
Yeah. Because I think that I struggled. Well, it's a tricky one because I think that I pride myself on being very accountable and trustworthy in the eyes of others. But
you don't have that same thing with just yourself?
I'd say I trust myself to get it done, but do I trust myself to have self-love? Not so much all the time. Working on it.
Yeah.
In a very positive way. That's not to sound like diminishing, but I treat my respect and the responsibility and my expectations of that, these certain aspects in relationships, with much more care than I do on breaking, you know, promises to myself. And I think it's incredibly important. But so that self-integrity. So it's something to be aware of.
This episode of Let's Dig Into That is brought to you by...
Do you consider yourself a trusting person? Dare I assume you trust everyone? Well, maybe you shouldn't. Maybe it's time to overthink, own up, or even apologize. Welcome to Trust Quest, the Rebuilding Saga, the first video game where the only way to level up is by repairing your broken relationships. Earn trust tokens by making amends, saying I'm sorry, and maybe actively listening to other human beings. Who knew trust building could be this fun? Choose your character, the honest hero, the empathetic enchanter, or my personal favorite, the whoops, I boofed it wizard. Each hero has a unique powers to fix the most fragile friendships, the most explosive romances. But beware, once you begin Trust Quest, the Rebuilding Saga, and break someone's trust, you'll face the dreaded reputation dragon. It's not pretty. Can you regain trust before it's too late, or will you lose all your trust tokens and become a misunderstood villain? Find out who you can trust, where and how rebuilding happens one token at a time. Trust us, it's going to be epic. Trust Quest, where you better say what you mean and mean what you say.
We have definitely covered broken trust, but I'm more curious, how do we build trust?
Right. We were talking about the understanding it. We should probably dig into
that. Yeah, well, we talked about these sort of two categories of when trust is broken, did it come from a place of incompetence or did it come from a place of lack of integrity? And that changes sort of how you feel about when your trust is broken, but how does it get built to get broken?
Where did it come from? And so the anatomy that I referenced earlier, can I just like, we want Dr. to ride Brené that Brown's Dr. Brené
anatomy
way. And so
of trust.
Braving the connection is what trust is, right? Braving the relationship dynamic. Mm-hmm. And so that acronym, I'm going to kind of zip through in the spirit of time. I'll do my best.
Yeah.
But B, boundaries.
Okay. Of course.
Yeah, having your own, respecting the others. It's a really good Brené move.
Yeah.
Reliability is
okay.
Our R.
That makes sense.
We've hit this one, accountability.
Yep.
Own it, make amends. Ooh, the next one we've hit as well, the vault. One really curious thing, and I'm going to hold up on V. I just hit a pause. But the common enemy intimacy.
Common enemy intimacy.
That breach, it's counterfeit trust. Basically, and it kind of goes back to my Andrea dynamic of if I heard a secret, now I'm in the position of learning the knowledge and I want to, like Andrea and I are going to build a relationship solely on gossip. And we all have those friends where you kind of just sip the coffee and talk the smack. And that's the expectation of. And so those vault rules are very different. Are there trust in those relationships? I'd argue not so much, because all you're doing is sharing everybody else's shit.
I don't love that one. My experience with dishonesty and trust, when someone comes and goes, hey, can I tell you something? I need you to keep it a secret. I instantly say no. Yeah. I don't do secrets.
He doesn't know.
That's how I handle that. Does that make me less trustworthy or more trustworthy? I don't know.
Knowing that, good awareness, good awareness. But yeah, respect of the vault was the V in braving. I, integrity. And Brené's definition, and I hope it's not, but Dr. Brown. Yeah, Dr. Brené says integrity. So since we've kind of tapped into that, choosing courage over comfort, choosing what's right over what's fun, fast, or easy, practicing your values, not just professing.
Okay.
And so that's where that did you share based on what were your intentions? Going back to the intentionality and what that integrity moment is. And so on from there, integrity, non-judgment.
Okay.
You can struggle in front of me. You can fall apart. I can do the same in front of you. We can use our words we're learning and describe what we're feeling. Like you said, take control of the situation. And then the last, generosity. Assume the most generous things. And that is what we do. That's kind of where we started with. Are we predisposed? Do we start at zero? If we assume that we can, if we start from a positive place, people don't want to let us down naturally, you'd hope.
Right.
That's where the intentionality and integrity, if they are going to screw up on purpose, that's a whole different conversation. But giving somebody going, I trust you, I don't think our natural instinct is to, unless you're attempting, for somebody innately ill-willed, I think the rewards would have to be, there'd have to be enough money in the pot to incentivize you to be a dick.
I mean, what this all breaks down, and I'm not surprised for, braving being the acronym coming from Dr. Brené Brown, vulnerability and connection.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this is all about, is you have to build those things. You have to be in a place where you can be vulnerable with another individual and know that you're safe.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what I think every one of those things in that acronym breaks down to.
That's an interesting way to use that word.
Well, I can help you with that. So we also talked about the Thin Book of Trust. This is a book that I have read and that I have taught, because what I do in my professional life is I bring together a bunch of people to try to impact change for the betterment of kids. And it's a hard thing to do with a large group of people. And trust works a little differently when we're talking about groups.
Yeah.
And so I would love to, you could take this information to the workplace. You could take this information to just your family dynamic. Anytime there's more than one person and you have to be in a trusting environment, one of the most important factors is psychological safety.
Word.
Right.
And makes good sense.
I sort of started already talking about what punishment does to us. And we're all going to screw up. We have to have an environment where it's okay to screw up and that it doesn't come with a punishment. Because as people, this is just true. We actually only learn from experiences, failures, things that we screwed up on, if the consequences happen in a natural way.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
It really does. And so that's...
Consequence and punishment, different word choice.
Exactly correct. Consequences happen naturally. Punishment is way different, and it just instills fear for, like...
Positive reinforcement, negative reinforcement conversation fits in.
Absolutely. There was a wonderful TED Talk that this wonderful lady did. I can't remember her name, but she was talking about a study that she had performed where it was in a hospital setting, and they were looking at two teams of people, and the team that had really come together and was doing really really great work, the high trust team, actually had more reported errors than the team that was underachieving and doing poorly. On paper, they had much fewer errors. And so for me, I immediately think, oh,
cheaters.
They're scared. They don't want to come forward with their mistakes. They're not in an opportunity where they have that psychological safety to say, hey, I screwed up and we're going to move forward and learn from this. Instead, they hide it. They conceal it because they're worried about the punishment.
Whoa.
So safety is a big part of trust.
And in that, so they reported more mistakes, so their, like, production level.
Right.
Their output is lower?
No. Their production's way through the roof, but they have way more mistakes on paper than the group that is less productive.
Okay.
But they have much fewer errors reported.
Because they're all
too scared.
That makes so much sense. When you do screw up and come forth in a safe place, there's an opportunity for learning, growth, where somebody else goes, ooh, I hit that problem. I've started working on this solution. And somebody else might be able to join where, huh.
Yeah, isn't it?
Mistakes reported being fear. How fun.
Right.
Like, I just think about, like, airlines and I'm good. sweaty. So, yeah, do you trust autopilot? Sure I do, if there's two people sitting in the cockpit.
Good point.
I'm not kidding.
Good point.
Like, that's
yeah.
a weird one.
And so... Again, thin book of trust, the other elements that they say are crucial in, just like Brené's braving, that are crucial to building trust are care or clarity. They kind of go hand in hand, but you have to be able to show someone how you care about them.
Mm-hmm.
And the clarity aspect of that is there needs to be sort of a purpose. There needs to be some clarity in the expectations of your role and inside the relationship. And I think that that's really well said.
You expected that your partner would not step out?
Yes.
Did you clearly identify?
I think it was pretty well known. Yeah,
I'm so
absolutely.
Sorry to tease.
I love that there's a crossover, reliability.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that's crucial. You got to say, you got to do what you say what you do.
I feel like accountability, that's you know how I say what you mean what
you
say.
Exactly right.
But care and reliability put together kind of fit that accountability definition
right.
for me.
This is my favorite one.
Oh.
Sincerity.
Hmm.
If you're not being sincere, there's no trust that can form from that. And that is something that can be felt, and it kind of ties into the integrity aspect of that. If you're being insincere, it's obvious. And people will question your integrity.
It's true that the sincerity strikes a chord with me that I have a tendency, we've noted here, to like to live in my own little world with my headphones on, learning, doing my own little growth journey. If I were to walk by JT on the couch at his desk in distress, and I saw it and I was like, I got my headphones on. I don't really need to check in on him. There's an argument for that being a sliver. If you see me keep on walking, a sliver of trust or betrayal.
Because you walk
my
by.
Integrity of checking in on you, I had an opportunity to build trust and show you the person that I am and our relationship and provide that sincerity that struck a chord with you versus me just walking on by and still think, I mean, we've walked by somebody crying in a bathroom. Everybody's done that and been like, ooh, do I check on them? Is this a private moment? I don't know. But I feel the right thing for me in my heart would be to take like, this is a moment. If the door was closed, different story. Because, yeah, I like to heal in private. But I think that that is an opportunity to build trust, or you put that integrity moment of I'm showing you who I am.
Well, we're talking about these two people who have been studying trust for a long time. And what it breaks down to in my mind from my lived personal experiences, it's all about vulnerability.
Did we ever give the definition?
Well, that's what's really cool is I think we have different definitions, which is so interesting.
Yeah,
so,
I never referenced a dictionary.
So in neither did I.
Okay, good.
Each of our sort of assigned reading lists did define it. I can go first if you want.
I thought I might have copied you because I was so inspired.
Let's find out. Thin Book of Trust defines it as the risk of making something important to you vulnerable to the actions of others.
I had the exact same except for choosing instead of risk. Choosing to make something important to you vulnerable to the actions of others. And that's where that face judgment, that sharing the vault secret, that lack of integrity move by doing either, you know, right. Down to the boundaries, the expectations we had in our relationship of like, girl, I thought when I did the whisper pinky swear thing that you knew, that's like to the grave.
Exactly. And again, this would argue that there was a lack of care or clarity in the understanding of the trust that you guys share.
Right. And so I think we all fall victim to when we have so many like liked interests. If you meet someone who's a friend of your buddy, you take on a lot of assumed trust, I feel, naturally.
Absolutely.
And so getting burned, the likelihood of getting burned by that person can go up, theoretically, because you don't know them. You don't know my trust. But I think, the negative diagnostics, again, of associating, like, my close friends can get away with so much because I instantly attribute.
Because you trust them already.
Because I trust them. And so I'm like, competence, situational, they're good. They check out.
Right.
And so much like in my, you know, boyfriendy example where I trusted this person and I trusted when he said, like, I have fallen for this human. I had to come to my own terms with that. Doesn't make it fun to hear, but it doesn't take away that you cheated on me. Feels, but I chose not to replay it.
But it made it so your mirror didn't break.
My mirror, cracked.
It cracked, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm more of a kintsugi kind of a woman myself. If you're familiar with the Japanese art of kintsugi, when a broken piece is mended with pure gold, and it's actually often considered more beautiful than when it was in. So imagine a beautiful porcelain bowl with these gold veins running through it, and it not only strengthens, but you could argue aesthetically. And so
the first time that I heard the mirror analogy from a relationship counselor is where I heard that the first time, it made me so angry. I can't say it any other way. But what I've since learned with a lot of maturity and self-reflection is there is another mirror. Trust can be rebuilt, but you've broken that mirror, and the new mirror is completely different. And that's
new
really,
expectations.
Like, I do believe that
starting over
trust can be rebuilt. I'm an alcoholic. I've made a lot of mistakes in my life, and I learned through the steps. And again, I don't want to rely too much on AA, but it's all about making amends and moving forward and not sliding backwards, but you can make the changes that you need to do to reestablish trust. It's just really, really difficult.
It's effort.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work. And talk about a perfect example of trust, anonymity. You're going into a room where they're like vulnerability and screwing up big time. Round of applause for that. You know, like the expectations are so clear that the non-judgmental.
They make sure it's clear. You got to read the preamble followed by how it works. First 20 minutes of a meeting are just people reading.
Trust right now with our amazing educators going, screw you, AI. What the heck?
Oh, I don't know.
Because again, assuming the good in people, I hope these kiddos aren't cheating, taking advantage of, aren't just looking for insights to help their paper, but a whole paper written that making that expectation clear, saying out loud to that room or Zoom or however they do it nowadays, that, by the way, I understand the tools that are available and I trust in the integrity of you individuals in this room that you will make the right choice.
Yeah. That's some trust.
Yeah. I have no idea how they're
managing
that.
I'm glad AI was not a thing when I was in school. Can we go back to the group stuff just for a second? Because yes. I find it to be so compelling.
Well, you need another person to trust. So I think group's very applicable. Yeah,
exactly. Again, put it in a group situation at work. Put it in the construct of a family. There's another acronym. And again, I think all these acronyms are sort of saying you have to be in a safe place to be vulnerable. That's really how I break it down. But this one was interesting. Inside of a group, to establish trust in the group, first thing you need is meaning, which I would define more of as like a purpose. What is the purpose that we're all here? What are we trying to accomplish? I think that that's really an important thing to recognize, because trust does need to have a goal inside of a group. Like, why are we trusting each other?
Yeah, to deepen our relationship, to get this work project done,
to do our best
work.
World
domination friendship.
Structure and clarity. We don't really need to go over that because we have. That makes a lot of sense. Making sure that when you have a directive that it's very clear, so there isn't that possibility of incompetence. That's how you build trust. Impact. This is the one we haven't talked about. The impact is, why are we doing what we're doing? Like, for instance, again, I frame this in, I work with kids who have experienced terrible things. The group of adults that are trying to care for this, our focus needs to stay on helping this child. If we change our focus, or some of the group is focused on convicting the person who did this, as opposed to just caring for the child.
Or making the child behave better,
period. Right.
Caring for, helping are different than
there's going to be a lack of trust between those two factions, where if you have the impact of what you're doing is leading to different results. I think that's so important. And think about that in a family.
Right.
When you have a disagreement, what are you both trying to accomplish? If you can be trying to accomplish the same thing, you can be building trust. All right. Dependability. Don't really have to get into that one. And then I sort of already said this word because I think it's so important to vulnerability, but psychological safety. You have to feel safe to express your ideas, your concerns, and screw up without being punished.
Yep.
That's how you build trust. Inside of a group, at least. And I believe in those, truly.
What was the acronym?
There is no acronym there.
Oh, it was just excellent.
There is another acronym. I'll just throw it out there because it's funny, but it's called the Body Method. And it's about feelings, actions, reactions, and thoughts.
Fart.
No one else seeing this? The acronym for this is FART, and it's called the Body Method.
When you break my trust, odds are good a tooth slipping out. So yeah. I'm like, oh, can't believe it. And so I do think the awareness of, good for you on recognizing you don't have to parse the past, taking this one event, the mirror's broken, there's an opportunity to build another, to step in front of another mirror, whatever you do.
Exactly right.
In that metaphor.
We're running out of time. And so if there's just one thing that someone could take away, I always like to try to make sure our podcasts have one. My perspective is, if you're wondering if someone is trustworthy, if you're going to put yourself out there, that's the question you have to ask. Is this person going to respond well to my vulnerability, or are they not? Because that's what it's all about. You're putting yourself out there. And if it's not received well, that's your biggest thing. That's how you build trust. And so you can sort of see right from the get-go.
And I
probably not a trustworthy person.
Yeah. Watching for the cues.
And don't slide backwards. only forward.
Well, I like with your group that this for me was most impactful on the say what you mean what you say to yourself.
Yes.
And so I love that Maya brought us back to, and you're saying the same thing, that don't trust people who say I love you that don't love themselves.
When you're vulnerable with someone and they punish you for it, or it doesn't go well, you doubt yourself. Trust is broken on both sides because it is a two-way street, truly.
Yeah. So being a little less, again, I'm riding high on that. Be generous with my own spirit and non-judgmental. In a perfect world, wouldn't that be fun? I'm going to brave my own relationship. But I don't want to be someone that forecloses on trust, that I am now, based on this, you opening my eyes to this chat, is being, aware of, I want to be in this and not making that, probably not. Yeah, probably lacking integrity. So, that's what I don't want to be, too quick.
Well, people need to feel comfortable that they can screw up and that their whole world isn't going to collapse.
I pride myself on being a safe place for welcoming the flawed and forlorn. Come to me. Come to me, my people. This means so much to have you with us. If you enjoyed what you heard and have the quick second to click follow or subscribe wherever you find your podcast, it means more than you know on our end. We so appreciate having this experience with you. It's magic.
We are building something awesome, and it's all because of
you. It's all because of you. Truly. You're building something awesome. Thanks for having us.
Great discussion. I am JT, everyone. Thank you so much for listening.
And I am Jordan. I'm learning stuff. Until next time.
Be brave, beautiful friends.